Alright, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is the Grim Articles Show. I got Dead Penetration here.
What's up?
And we're going to do a really short show. First of all, we got a new Prime Minister of Japan. And we need to talk a little bit about what the Prime Minister of Japan is about. So this is a very nationalistic Prime Minister. This is different than what Japan's had in the past several years. She is, and I will show it to you in just a second. Alright, so, according to Emerald Apple from Twitter, it says a few things about Sanae Takaichi, the first female Prime Minister in Japan, based on information I gathered. She is more Japan first than Shinzo Abe. She is against illegal immigration and wants to significantly limit legal immigration to maintain Japanese core culture. She's anti-feminist, advocating for banning married women from keeping their maiden names. She is a supporter of traditional family structure. She supports tax incentives for having children as well as tax deductions for daycare and other child services. She opposes same-sex marriage. She wants to ratify the constitution so Japan can have a formal military again. She wants to prompt economic food and energy security government spending through a crisis management investment. And 9, pro-inflationary policy to 2% with consistent wage growth to promote spending. She is also a big heavy metal fan. She used to drum in a metal band when she was in college. And she's a big fan of bands like X Japan, Black Sabbath, and
Sounds
Iron Maiden.
Very Western.
Also, she says that Run to the Hills is one of her favorite songs. So this is the kind of woman that will be running Japan. Now, yes, she was previously very censorious against manga and anime. She said she wanted to treat fictional characters as real characters. But this was 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And now it says that she's more towards keeping the manga and anime intact. Like, she doesn't want to change it. So, things have changed. And she's a lot older woman than what she was when, you know, she first started. So, she is 100% the new Prime Minister of Japan. And Japan will basically, you know, what she says goes. So things are going to be very different in Japan. And I don't know. I really don't know what to tell you guys.
I hope it's a good thing.
Now, some of you guys are worried about, oh, what is this going to mean for Aerogate and anime? Like, first of all, Japan's really not worried about that. They've got bigger problems than that. And people don't really understand. They think that because our problems here in America with the Aerogate, it doesn't mean shit, Japan. Japan has a lot more going on with immigration and all this other stuff that's going on. They've got their own problems.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not a deal for them. Okay, so anyway, Tech Radar, the decision will strand millions of consumers. Microsoft urged to U-turn on controversial Windows 10 support plan. This is September 17th. It's a little older. But it doesn't seem like they're going to do that. Consumer Reports urged Microsoft to reverse its decision to end Win 10 support and extend the current October 14th deadline for free security updates, saying Windows 10 support ending will strand millions of consumers. Not only that, but you've got a lot of businesses that are reliant on that software.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Tiny 11 or Linux. Unofficial offices like Tiny 11 exist, which allow a stripped-down version of Windows 11 to run on hardware that doesn't meet official requirements. So, I don't know. I'm using Win 11 right now, and I'm not having any problems, but I'm also not updating Win 11 until 2027, because I've got it set to do that. Okay. We're not going to talk about that right now. GOG wants to revive more classic Japanese games on PC. Working with Japanese partners often requires demonstrating both technical capability and cultural understanding. By the way, they're about to release something on the October the 7th. And we have a lot of signs that point to Silent Hill F coming to the platform extremely early. Usually it takes a lot longer for games like that, especially from Konami. However, there is also, at least I'm thinking, that they're also going to release Silent Hill 2 or Silent Hill 3, the PC versions, with it. They could do that. They could do that all in one go. Or they could do a coming soon where they release Silent Hill F now, and they release Silent Hill 2 and 3 later like they did with the Resident Evils. There is no PC port for Silent Hill. It doesn't exist. It was only on the PlayStation.
Yeah.
So they're remaking it, but there is... Yeah, and, well, they don't have the source code, so they can't remaster it. It's too old.
Yeah.
So, they may not officially be called good old games anymore, but GOG still sells plenty of games that are both good, old and good, alongside new releases like Silksong. Speaking to Automaton, senior PR rep Peter Ginnip, which I've actually seen him in their server several times, but I don't speak with him. You know, we don't talk to people whom we're not really supposed to talk with. There's people that we're designated to talk to on staff. I'm one of the founders, by the way. So they treat me pretty special over there. I actually asked them to bring Criminal Border Part 4 over. And I said, guys, because that's the fourth part of the game series. This isn't like... See, they don't really know a lot about their products. Sometimes they're like, oh, this is just a regular adult game. But I was like, okay, guys, so listen. This isn't a normal adult game. This is a full story told in four parts. So you've given people the first, the second, and the third, but they don't have the last part.
Yeah.
So they were really upset because they wanted to get the end of the story.
Can't finish it.
So, they finally decided to bring that one out, at least. So, I am glad that they did that. And I probably need to say something to them. When they get back, I'll say something. They don't work during Sunday. Saturday and Sunday, they're off. GOG is not an office. But Monday through Saturday, they're an office. So, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And they've got a lot of people working overtime because they've got this massive premiere. They got all this shit that's supposed to happen on 10 the 7th. So, mark that day on your calendar, because it's coming up pretty fast.
Oh, yeah.
Alright, so, Diablo came to GOG Diablo came to GOG after almost a decade of conversations. Preservation often means knocking on the same doors again and again, hearing no most of the time, until one day it's finally a yes. That paid off, with GOG eventually getting to re-release a handful of Japanese games that were difficult to get a hold of in the West, like Silent Hill 4, The Room, some of the early Metal Gears, which they still have, and the OG Castlevanias and Contras. Capcom eventually agreed to let GOG re-release Dino Crisis and the first three Resident Evil, so it took time, persistence, and trust building. A release of Breath of Fire 4 early this year was one of the standouts of GOG's preservation initiative. Working with Japanese partners often requires demonstrating both technical capability and cultural understanding. In this case, Capcom treated these launches as full new releases, so we followed a complete QA and certification process, just like we would for a brand new game. He went on to say that, while sometimes a game's creators or an external partner is involved at this stage, in most cases it's GOG handling the porting and compatibility work. They do everything. Games in the GOG preservation program get some extra care and attention, whether they're packaged with fan-made mods, which they are allowed to do, are otherwise altered to run on modern operating systems, have controller support, and generally embrace the modern world. Our internal tech team analyzes each game, he said, builds custom wrappers or tools when needed, and thoroughly tests the result. That's how we make sure the experience is authentic, but also practical for today's players. Not every game that makes it to GOG gets to be preserved forever. The first two Warcraft games were pulled by Blizzard, as were the Adult Swim games like Westerotto and Fist Puncher. I still have them, and if you've got them on your account, you still keep them. Sometimes GOG has to remove a game from sale when it's delisted for a rights issue, and that happens all the time. And sometimes it's because the publisher wants to sell it on their own storefront, but recently there's been a more censorious group trying to get games removed from sale. GOG responded by giving the 13 horny games away for free. We do know that. At GOG, he said, as a platform devoted to good old games and video game preservation, we see it as a game preservation issue. Every year, many games are disappearing for various reasons. Every game that disappears from distribution is potentially lost to game preservation efforts. It is particularly worrying when games are potentially vanishing due to external pressure. By the way, there's another adult announcement I have for you guys. I have heard it from another person in the server that's been talking with, I believe, Shady Corner. Has a little... I don't say bad things about Shades, but we've had some run-ins here and there, so... I haven't had the greatest relationship with him, but this guy seems to have a little better relationship with him. And he has said that apparently they are going to release Bone Town: The Second Coming. Bone Town is one of the very first adult games I've ever played in my life.
Oh.
It is a very... Yeah, if you haven't seen it, it is...
Never seen it.
It's like Grand Theft Auto, but a whole lot different. And very outdated, but it's got a charm. The graphics are very outdated, but they still have the charm. So, every game that disappears from distribution is potentially lost to game preservation efforts. It's particularly worrying when games are potentially vanishing due to external pressure. Okay, so yeah, it's coming, guys. And it also works with controllers, which is one of the issues I had with it. But they brought controller support over eventually. And they brought some new stuff over. We don't have the Kinks mod. That might have been rejected by GOG. Sometimes they reject certain things. But they are bringing the game over completely. And I can't wait to play that. So, looking forward to that one. Yeah. There's a lot of stuff coming to GOG next week. A lot of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So, also, a game that we are going to play in just a few minutes, and we're going to spend 2 hours playing it, is Euphoria. It's supposed to come to GOG, and I was waiting for it to come to GOG, but because of the, you know, anniversary celebration, they didn't get a chance to put it up. But it released on Steam, so I did buy it on Steam, and we absolutely will have it for you. It's DRM-free either way. You do get to play the game off Steam. I knew it was going to be DRM-free. But it is important because this is, of course, as I premiered earlier, the new game from the developer of Leap of Faith, one of the most popular games on our BitChute channel. So we will definitely be playing this, and it also changes the game. It is a completely different style of visual novel. You can even play it as not a visual novel, but we're going to play it as a visual novel. So...
Is this the one they said was open world? Or
no, not quite.
Option of?
Yeah, it's an option of, but it's not. We're not. We're not ready for that one yet. Nah, I'll buy that later. Oh, well, yeah. Sage is still up, guys, just in case. You know, I've been putting a lot of the videos on my YouTube channel where I put my games. It's gotten very popular in Brazil. I've got one video that has 20,000 views.
Wow.
And it's literally just me playing a Sonic game for 15 minutes.
Well, that's interesting.
Yes. The Brazilians really, really like that game.
And they said, we wish we could get Sonic here.
They have Sonic
I'm
there.
I'm sure they probably
there,
do.
They
but I always like acting like... Oh.
So. Well,
they're at Carnival instead of playing Sonic?
Sexologist explains why only some people are able to do hands-free masturbation technique that has many benefits. The act of self-love is proven to possibly enhance your sleep, reduce stress, and banish pain. A sexologist has revealed why some people may be able to experience a so-called hands-free masturbation and why others may struggle with the practice. Like it says on the tin, hands-free masturbation is a way of reaching sexual bliss without actually relying on physical stimulation. Instead of using penetration or their hands to get off, some people like to utilize connections between the brain and the body to achieve their orgasms. There are a variety of ways that people can achieve this type of sexual climax. These include humping and grinding pillows and sex toys, water play, dirty talk, and even just clenching your muscles. The latter, known as centribation, has a myriad of health benefits, according to sex therapist Kimberly Thomas. Centribation is also a safe way to explore your own sexuality, build familiarity, and comfort with your own sexual self, and gain sexual confidence, the sex therapist explained to Women's Health. Please keep in mind that people around you are not consenting to being around you as you masturbate, so opt for more independent settings.
Like public park, or...
reaching orgasm through other methods can be helpful. According to Shannon Chavez, a sex therapist and psychologist based in Beverly Hills, humans need a variety of different ways to reach orgasm in their arsenal. If not, then your body can become conditioned to thinking it can only climax via one method. Trying different techniques shows you that there are a lot of different ways we can orgasm, she explained. As well as experiencing hands-free masturbation, some people can actually have and enjoy the touch-free self-stimulation. This includes everything from orgasmic breathing techniques to orgasm hypnosis. According to Carol Queen, PhD, sexologist for Good Vibrations, orgasms happen in the brain before they happen in the genitals. So sometimes orgasms happen just in the brain.
Wet dreams.
Unfortunately, according to Sarah Dysich, a longtime sex educator, not everyone will find breath orgasms possible. That's because it requires conscious, intentional breathing techniques that can be rather difficult to master. People with underlying respiratory conditions, such as anxiety, may also be prevented from trying this type of hands-free masturbation. But Dysak doesn't want that to put you off. It's certainly worth giving a try, she added. Meanwhile, Queen said that some people won't be able to have a hands-free orgasm because they simply can't reach climax. According to Dr. Lori Mintz, another sex therapist, 10% of women have reported never having orgasm in their lifetime. Many find that they don't orgasm at all during vaginal sex, but only 3 in 10 women say they find pleasure every time they do the deed. How to improve your chances of a hands-free orgasm. If you struggle to have an orgasm, then there are a handful of things that you can do to set yourself up for a positive experience. One of which is to get aroused. Dysich said this can be done in a multitude of ways, watching sexy videos, reading erotic fiction, engaging like dirty talk, or just using your mind to fantasize about different situations. Being aroused will flood your bits with blood, making them more sensitive and reactive to whatever technique you're using, she added. If it's a slice of self-love you're after, then working out, trying a toy mount, or embarking on play in the shower or the bath may hold the answers you're looking for. Health benefits of hands-free masturbation. According to Dr. Sham Singh, a psychiatrist who approaches mental health holistically, orgasms can help you perk up in the morning or get settled down at night. Doctors said there were enormous psychological and physical advantages to masturbation, including helping you relax your muscles, put your mind in a better place, and relieve premenstrual tension caused by menstruation. Other benefits of masturbation include stress relief, increased self-esteem and body image, and potentially enhancing your sex life, as per the Cleveland Clinic. So, there you go. And now they're saying excessive masturbation is causing rise of male health problems. Sure, it might seem great at the time, amazing in fact. Oh, that was October 2024.
Oh, so it's okay for a woman.
Right.
But if I want to, right. I'm putting my life at risk.
Right.
Or my health. Nah.
Let's see. NYPD detective with history of misconduct busted for flashing firearm at Long Island stripper. Have you ever been shot? This wasn't the way to disarm her. An NYPD detective was arrested after he allegedly flashed his gun to threaten a stripper outside a Long Island jiggle joint, asking her, have you ever been shot? Ryan Olson was caught on the camera lifting his shirt and showing a gun tucked in his waistband to a dancer outside the Carousel Lounge at Huntington Station on September the 19th. Olson, 37, who lives nearby, approached a 23-year-old stripper as she was smoking a blunt in her car outside the club at 3 a.m. Do you know when Bambi's coming out? He asked, referring to another dancer, according to sources. He then asked her to text Bambi to find out. But the unnamed woman refused to help, and she and New York's finest began to squabble in the parking lot. Olson, a cop in the NYPD's warrant section, which tracks down wanted criminals, then pulled up his shirt so she could see his gun and asked, have you ever been shot? The dancer told Suffolk County cops, the sources said. The woman started screaming, get the fuck away, get the fuck away! And called her boss inside the club for help as she began driving away, the sources said. Wow. The detective at first tried to calm her down, but then got in his car and drove away, the sources said. The nightclub already had the gumshoe's name because he had to provide his driver's license to get in earlier in the evening. The Suffolk County Police Department investigated allegedly found surveillance videos showing Olson pulling up his shirt and flashing his firearm. Manager at the club refused to comment on the incident. Thursday afternoon, six strippers glumly sat at the U-shaped bar inside the dimly lit space already decorated for Halloween with paper skeletons, pumpkins, and orange and black balloons.
Yay.
The women refused to speak to a reporter. Olson, 2010 graduate of John Jay College of Criminal Justice, who made $257,000 last year, pleaded not guilty to a charge of menacing with a gun at his arraignment, court records show. Detective Olson is a respected 15-year member of the New York City Police Department, Olson's lawyer Peter Brill said. He's innocent until proven guilty.
Well,
yes.
There's no telling. I mean, of course, it's his word versus her word, too.
An NYPD Internal Affairs Bureau investigates when a police officer is arrested. Olson could be fired as a result of the charges. Olson has had 23 misconduct allegations filed against him, nine of them substantiated with the most recent 2023.
Not looking good.
The most recent allegations were for abuse of authority for improper use of a body-worn camera in 2023 and for a vehicle search in 2021 and were sustained by the Independent Watchdog Civilian Complaint Review Board. Records show he received formal training and appears to have lost vacation days as a result. $257,000, that's a lot of paid overtime.
Oh, man.
He's on camera, innocent until proven guilty. And why is NYPD making that type of salary?
Sounds pretty nice.
With 35,000 cops, there are bound to be a fair number of loose wires and blue.
And what's alleged, the salary again?
$275,000 a year.
I don't know if that's cost of living up there.
It might be.
It is really expensive to live in New York.
We're going to look at that one much later.
I don't know. That does sound high for a police officer.
Meet Locktober. No Nut November's kinky cousin. Halloween isn't the only thing making people squirm in October. Locktober keeps genitals locked up to November. For the uninitiated, Locktober is the annual challenge where people willingly padlock their junk for 31 days. We're talking cages, belts, and hardware store chic devices that make TSA scanners a nightmare. What started as an in-joke on fetish forums has grown into a full-blown season, complete with hashtags, leaderboards, and people bragging about how long they've gone without so much as a half-heated tug. On Reddit, subs trade pictures of their padlocks like baseball cards, logging the day since their last orgasm with a mix of pride and masochism. And the numbers keep climbing. Clips for sale named Chastity its 2025 Fetish of the Year after sales of related content spiked 71% in 1 year. Interest is up another 22% this year in the U.S. Nebraska tops the chart with Chastity as the most searched fetish. Pennsylvania comes in hot, too. But once lived in the shadows, it started showing up everywhere. You can view the full map here.
Well, of course, it's a fetish. Everybody would like to get with a girl or guy, you know,
right,
depending on their preference.
Locktober is November's horny cousin. Denied orgasm, the entire body becomes an erogenous zone, Avery Martin said. Chastity is ultimately about submission, as millions of people discovering giving up control can be incredibly sexy. Meanwhile, the Manosphere has its own abstinence calendar event. No Nut November, as bros bragging about semen retention with the same intensity they brag about bench press numbers. Adult director Iden Starr once mocked the overlap, pointing out that kink subs and online alpha males are basically chasing the same dry spell in different costumes. Google searches for Locktober are breaking records this year, which means more people are locking up and leaning in. The whole thing now runs directly to No Nut November, creating a two-month chastity marathon where America gets hornier by not getting off. Some people do it for discipline, some for control, and plenty for the erotic kick of being denied. Whatever the reason, October has become the horniest dry season of the year. Crazy, right? So, we got a lot of AI stuff to talk about, as you can see, that I've skipped. Don't worry, I said I was going to do an AI show, and I might do it this week. I might do it. It depends on what we've got going on. I have no idea. Because I constantly got to be making videos for that channel, the YouTube one, that's really blowing up right now. I went from, like, 16 to 125. No, that's just the little games channel I put up. Shit, yeah. I did a video for a Sonic game that a fan made from Brazil, and it's at 20,000 hits. It's almost on par to being my biggest video. Biggest video I ever made in my life, biggest amount of views was 32,000. So,
yeah.
Basically, it's on par. I mean, it's on track to beat that. It could literally get to hundreds of thousands of views.
Well, that's awesome.
Yes, and it's just me literally playing 15 minutes of a Brazilian Sonic game. No commentary, guys, just me playing the little Brazilian Sonic game. Which isn't very good, by the way. But, at any rate...
But it got 20,000.
I know, they like it. But at any rate, this is the Grim Lord, and we will see you guys in just a little bit, because we've got 2 hours of Euphoria. I'm out.
Later.
Enjoy the decline.